Search for God and absolute truth compelled him to leave the aristocratic American society, and in his search for the absolute truth, he traveled so many countries. He tried, he studied in great depth Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, and even Shaivism. Eventually, in his pursuit, he reached India and met his spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, for the first time here in Mumbai in Cross Maidan. It's quite an amazing story how Srila Prabhupada picked him up from a group of thousands of people, and he knew the spark that was there in Maharaja's heart. Since then, he has dedicated his life to teach the sublime message of Bhagavad Gita, and he has developed a lot of spiritual vibrant communities. Personally, he travels all over the globe in countries like Italy, Europe, UK, US, Russia, preaching to different kinds of people. He is one of the GBC members, ISKCON as the governing body commission, and is one of the GBC members of ISKCON. He is spearheading so many projects and preaching to so many people all over the world. Today we are very grateful to him to remove time for us in his very busy schedule and address this festival, the Chaitanya festival, with the topic "The Power of Sound Vibration." Hare Krishna. And I thank everybody who have removed their precious time and to make this event a very successful event. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. The Hindi translation is going to be done. जिन भक्तों को हिंदी में अनुवाद सुनना है वो पीछे जो माता जी वहाँ बैठे हैं कोने में वहाँ जाके बैठ सकते हैं ताकि ये पूरे लेक्चर का अनुवाद हिंदी में होगा. हरे कृष्णा.
Hari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vadadhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vadadhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vadadhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Patakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna I am very grateful to be amongst all of you this evening. And I very sincerely thank you for coming to participate in our monthly Chaitanya Festival. I was asked by Vishakapriya Devi and Radharani Devi to speak on the subject of the power of sound. So, with your permission, I will try to speak a few words on this subject. Kishori Devi also enlightened me with this subject matter. According to Vedas, the origin of creation is sound. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adakavaye. Before even creation was manifested, the Lord created Brahma, and through sound vibration from within his own heart, he enlightened him, not only in transcendental knowledge, but in the whole process of how creation would take place. And this principle is consistent in the world great religion. In the Holy Bible of both the Jews and the Christians, in Genesis, the first chapter, it is said that in the beginning, God began the process of creation by speaking, "Let there be light." And thus the universe began. And in the Christian scripture, in the book of John, it begins, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." Transcendental sound. Just as sound vibration has the power to create material existence, sound vibration also has the power to destroy material existence. The Vedanta Sutra says, in its very last verse or sutra, anavriti shabdat, that one could be liberated from all sufferings for the rest of eternity through transcendental sound. Now we'd like to analyze sound, beginning with what we can perceive with our senses today. The power of sound. You have heard that very high-pitched sounds can break glasses. In America, they call them wine glasses. Devotees maybe will say lassie glasses. High-pitched sound. Sonic boom could make walls crack. And there are many, many instances where a single gunshot can cause an entire avalanche where mountains tumble down. Power of sound, as we see. Medical technology is learning more and more how to utilize sound for healing benefits. Through ultrasound, can cleanse wounds, can detect and diagnose tumors. Through sound, pulverize kidney stones. And sound has such a healing benefit to encourage the mind. The greatest suffering is the suffering of the mind. Rarely do people commit suicide because of physical pain. In most cases, it's because of depression and anxiety. What is the cause of that? Thoughts. What is a thought? Thought is a sound within the mind, is it not? When you're thinking, sometimes it's in words. And those words, those thoughts create pictures and images. And sometimes so powerful that that sound, subtle sound within the mind can create depression, anxiety, or enlightenment, illumination, and great joy. It's the power of sound. And how throughout the ages people have been so affected in masses by the power of sound. Terrorists today, in the earlier part of the 19th century, Hitler, through sound, through his lectures, and through the literatures that were created, caused millions and millions of people to hate, to believe in something so passionately they were willing to kill innocent people. I spoke the other day about, I was in Germany recently, and long ago there was the Crusades. How many of you have studied in history classes the Crusades? They were Christians who were trying to get Jerusalem from the Muslims. And they were fighting. And then the Muslims would try to get it from the Christians. They were fighting for generations and generations and generations. And they advertised to recruit more Crusades that anyone who kills a non-believer, for every non-believer you kill, you'll get a better place in heaven. So some farmers in Germany, they were thinking, why not? Let's go to Jerusalem and kill them, because they don't believe. All sectarian ideas. They were marching, and on the way they said, well, here's a village of Jews. They're not believers in our religion. Let's just kill them. They're easy. They don't even have an army. They killed hundreds and thousands, wiped out entire villages. Such hatred. Why? Because they heard something. A At the same time, we have seen God-conscious people, through the words they speak, they've transformed criminals into saints. They create love, awaken love within people's hearts. That is power of sound. Now, sometimes we hear that a picture is worth a thousand words, like art or television or cinema. Yes. But why is a picture worth a thousand words? That means it's so powerful. It's not that it's better than words, it means it invokes a thousand words. It has the same effect as a thousand words. It induces thought, induces sound, and how much it influences people's lives. Our Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, he writes that if you want to create a skyscraper, how do you do it? The beginning of the whole process is sound. All the materials are already there. But you learn how to combine them for the purpose of your construction. So yes, everything we do in life begins with sound. Material entanglement begins in sound, and spiritual liberation begins with sound. Srila Prabhupada writes that the origin of creation is sound vibration. When the sound vibration is clear and perfect, then perfect knowledge and perfect action is manifested. And we find this is the principle of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was in illusion. He was despondent. He was just suffering. And by hearing the sound vibration from Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, he was enlightened, liberated, and joyful. Spiritual sound comes from spiritual origin. Apurusha is a Sanskrit word which means sound vibration coming from someone who is not of this material existence, but who is transcendental. So knowledge of scripture is considered perfect because it originates with the Word of God. Now, transcendental sound, vibration, or knowledge cannot actually be understood through the material intelligence or the mind. It must be inspired or initiated by one who is speaking those words without adulteration. That is why Krishna says in Gita, evam parampara praptam, that this knowledge must be received in disciplic succession. There were hundreds and hundreds of Bhagavad Gitas in the English language, but practically no one transformed their lives by reading it, which is the whole purpose of it. Srila Prabhupada simply presented Bhagavad Gita as it is. As the great souls in disciplic succession have always understood it. And by that one translation, tens of millions have been read, and hundreds and thousands of people's lives have changed. Because they are receiving that sound from a perfect source. That is the power. It is said by Lord Chaitanya Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunoi Sravanadi Suti Chiti Koriya Yudhoi. Which means perfect peace, perfect happiness, and perfect love for God is within every living being. It's not a question of being a Hindu or a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or a Jain or a Parsi or an atheist. It's not a question of being of a high caste or a low caste or a man or a woman. These are all temporary designations. Our true self is that we're part of God. We're eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Our true nature is to love God. But because we have chosen sometime way back, which is intellectually untraceable to us, we have misused our independent free will to be apart from God. And therefore, we have forgotten that love within ourselves. But it is our essence. It is our nature. This morning we were speaking about coal or oil. Since oil is such a big subject of today's world, we'll speak on the subject of oil. What is oil? It's nothing but the potency of the sun. There's trees, the sun shines on the trees, the wood is actually being created by the fire element of the sun. And when you light wood, doesn't appear like fire. But as soon as you light it, what happens? By associating with fire, the fire within it blazes. And when it falls to the ground and goes underground, millions of years pass, it becomes coal. And when that hundreds of thousands, millions of years pass, the coal becomes oil. So oil's a liquid, yes? But the potency of fire is within it. How to bring it out? You have to connect it with fire. When you connect it with fire, just like in your automobile, they have spark plugs. Yes? It just gives a spark. And that spark ignites the oil and causes explosions, like fire. That is nature. It's the nature of consciousness as well. Our consciousness is like that coal, or like that oil. The love is not manifested within us. But when we associate with those people who love God, that love is awakened. And it becomes like a blazing fire and burns to ashes all of our sufferings, all of our misconceptions, all of our avidya or ignorance. Now, when the Vedanta Sutra, which is the essence of all the Vedas, its conclusion, anavrati shabdat, that we are liberated through sound vibration. Why do holy people awaken that love within our heart? Because of what they speak. And because their lives are in harmony with what they speak. The pure word of truth. And what a powerful effect it has to awaken the essence within us. It is said in the Brihadnaradiya Purana, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatir anyata. In this age of Kali Yuga, there is no method better. In fact, there's no other way to awaken that dormant love within our heart, that spiritual consciousness, than the chanting of the sound vibration of God's name. Why is that? Goloketa premadana harinam sankirtan. the sound of God's name has descended from the spiritual world. It is not a material vibration. Although we can say it with our tongue, we could hear it with our ears, it is a divine sound. And that sound has created this existence and could destroy all illusion. It can awaken the eternal truth within us. That is the power of sound. In the Kali Santarana Upanishad, it is said that, well, first we'll quote Lord Chaitanya, Nam nama karibo nija sarva shaktis. What is so special about the name of God? It's non-different than God. And there are many names of God in all the great religions. Jehovah. In the Jewish scripture, when Moses saw the burning bush, said, I am God. And he said, my name is I am what I am. Something like that. So I am. It's the name of God in Hebrew. Allah. They have the 108 names of Allah. There's the 1,000 names of Vishnu. Vishnu Sahasranam. So many names of the Lord. And if we chant those holy names sincerely, under proper direction, that name liberates us from all anxieties and awakens the great treasure of spiritual love within our hearts. But the Kali Santarana Upanishad tells, because this scripture is specially like the prescription given by the Lord and the great sages for the disease people suffer in this age of Kali. There are many names of God, and all of them can purify your heart and perfect your life. But it goes on to explain the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Iti Sodashakam Nam Nam, Kali Nasha, Kali Kalmasha Nashanam, Nata Parataropaya, Sarva Vedeshu Drishyati. That in this age of Kali, there is no more effective and powerful means of awakening our original spiritual consciousness than chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is said to include all other names of God. Therefore, it is not a sectarian idea. There is one God who is all attractive, Krishna, who is all pleasing to the heart, Rama, and his eternal consort, who is the source and bestower of all compassion and love, Hare, or Radha, or Lakshmi, Sita. So this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the most powerful spiritual sound in all of existence. And how it could liberate our hearts if we chant it with the proper motivation and with the proper consciousness. Can I tell a personal story in this regard? Just about, I think it was about 2 years ago, I was traveling in the United States of America. There's a community in Florida called New Ramanreti. It's in a place called Alachua, where there happened to be about 700 devotee families living in that area. It's a very large community. So I was there for about a week. And one of my dear godbrothers, his name is Pyari Mohan, he lives in Hartford, Connecticut. He's the temple president. For several years, he was inviting me to come. And months before, we planned out that I would be there for the Sunday
festival where many, many people come. So he bought me a ticket. But it was a real cheap ticket.
So I drove about 2 hours from the community to the Jacksonville airport. And I went through the security and all of that. And I got to the gate. It was one of those small art drafts with maybe 30 seats or something like that. And we're all sitting there waiting. And then the lady at the desk, she announces there will be an indefinite delay in this flight. Now, everyone was quite miserable about that. But what's the worst thing when you're miserable? To have to deal with someone who's even more miserable. Well, there she was. This lady, she was probably in her 50s. She stormed up to the desk and shouted. And everybody, we're just in a little waiting area. It's not a big place, just a little waiting area. And she's saying, "This flight must go on time. You must take me on time." She was screaming. And the airline hostess said, "I'm sorry, but, you know, there's a delay." "Why is there a delay? I want to know, why is there a delay?" He said, "Because the air conditioning system is not working. They have to fix it." "Well, how long will it be delayed?" He said, "At least an hour." And she started crying and screaming in anger, this lady. She said, "You do not know how much suffering you are causing me. You'll never know how much suffering you're causing me. I demand you to take me immediately." She said, "There's nothing I can do." And everybody in the whole waiting room was just like, she was screaming and screaming and screaming for about 10 minutes. Finally, the airline hostess behind the desk, she just disappeared. She couldn't deal with it. It was too much. And everyone else was trying to move as far away as possible from that lady. So myself, I was just in the distant little corner, just chanting Maha Mantra. And just hoping, I hope she doesn't come anywhere near me. So after the hostess ran away from her and everybody else was withdrawing, she just walked right up to me. There was so much anger and suffering in her eyes. And she yelled at me. She said, "Are you a monk?" I said something like that. She said, "Then I want you to tell me, why is this happening to me? Why am I suffering so bad? Why is this flight late?" And everyone's looking at us. And I said, "Please sit down. You know, please sit here and let's discuss this." And I said, "You know, tell me, why are you so miserable?" And she told me her story. Would you like to hear her story? You're not supposed to like to hear about miserable people. But she told me her story. She said she's an upper middle class woman in her 50s. She said within the last few months, her husband and all her children were lost. Finished. And all her other families just abandoned her. Meanwhile, with the loss of her husband and children, without her knowing it, somebody legally went to the courts and cheated her. And she lost her house, all her property. Everything was taken away. Now she was homeless. And hardly a month after this, she became terribly sick. She went to the doctor and was diagnosed with terminal cancer. They're saying there's no way to cure you. You'll probably die within a month. She said, I'm going to die within a month. I have no property. I have no possessions. And my family's dead. Do you know how much I'm suffering? And I was told in Mexico, there's a cancer clinic that told me that if I get there by tonight, they'll take me in and they'll treat me and they feel that they might be able to cure me. But they said if I don't get there by tonight, they're all booked up and there's a waiting list and I'll lose the opportunity and I won't be able to get in for at least 6 months to a year. Said, I have a plane, and I have a to Washington, D.C., where I was going to get a connecting flight to Connecticut. She said, I'm going to Washington, D.C. I have a connecting flight to San Diego, and I have just enough time to get there. If this flight is late, it means my life. Do you know how much I'm suffering? Why is God doing this to me? You're a monk. It's your duty to tell me, why is God doing this to me? I said, well, just calm down, please, please. Somehow or other, it's happened. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. What's happened has happened. You have no choice about what has happened. But you do have a choice of how you're going to respond to it. If you look at it as something negative, you're just going to suffer and make everyone around you suffer, just like you're doing today. But if you look for a positive opportunity in it, you're going to find hope. You're going to find meaning. You're going to come closer to God and find happiness in this situation. That is your choice. This is an opportunity. And I just repeated the words of Bhagavad Gita, how the soul is eternal. And due to our karmas, we're put in so many situations due to our past, but the decisions we make and how to respond is what's going to determine our future. So why not turn to God sincerely and thank God for the opportunity? You have to die today or tomorrow. A great life is not a life that's necessarily long. A great life is a life of quality. There are trees that are thousands of years old. Recently, I was in the Sequoia Forest of California. There were trees 3,000 years old we were looking at. But are those trees great souls? Lord Chaitanya lived 48 years. Shankaracharya, 32 years. Jesus, 31 years. And they're remembered forever. Because of the quality of their lives. I told her there's a book called Srimad Bhagavatam where Shukadeva Goswami says, better one moment of full consciousness of God than a long, long life of forgetfulness. So why not turn to God? Sincerely. If you're not hungry, you can't really digest food. Now you're hungry. You're starving. Fill yourself with grace. She looked at me and said, what is the best way to turn to God? I said, God is not different than His name. Chant His name. And you're in the most perfect position to chant God's name and access God's mercy. You're more fortunate than everyone else here if you just make the right choice. I said, what name of God do you chant? She said, well, you tell me which name of God I should chant. So I said, should I write down what I chant? She said, please. And she opened her purse and she took out paper and pen and I wrote, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I said, I have to make a phone call. Because meanwhile, they made another announcement that the plane was delayed another 2 hours. And I wanted to kind of get away from her and let her chant. So I spoke for maybe 45 minutes with her and wrote down the mantra, and I said, I have to make a phone call. So I tried to call because all these people are going to be waiting at the temple and I have to catch a plane to Washington, D.C., and then I have to catch a connecting flight. I've already missed 3 connecting flights. So I had to call the president. But the payphones didn't work. So she looked at me and says, do you want to use my cell phone? I said, yes, yes, please. So she gave me her cellular phone and I called. And Vyari Mohan Prabhu was asked, you know, where are you? You were supposed to arrive. I said, I'm still in Florida. And I told her, I told him, but I said, but there's a positive opportunity on all this. I said, yes, I'm waiting for so many hours, and yes, I may. I don't know if I'll ever get there to your temple, but there's a really desperate person, and right now when I'm looking at her, she's chanting the Maha Mantra, really seriously. He says, oh, that's very good, very good. So just call me whenever you're coming. He said, but there's going to be a lot of people waiting. Don't disappoint us. So I think about 5 hours passed. And finally, they announce that if anyone wants to come on this airplane, please go to the bathroom and then board the airplane. And people were all really in anxiety. I said, what is this nonsense you're speaking, if anyone wants to get on this airplane? We've been sitting here for 5 hours, you people. What are you doing? Of course we want to get on the airplane. And what is this, go to the bathroom before you get on the airplane? I said, because in the process of fixing the air conditioner, which is the reason for this delay, the technicians did something, so now the toilets don't work. And not only that, the lights don't work, but the air conditioner works. So it's a 2-hour flight. Go to the bathroom now. And then you can board. So everyone's running to the bathroom. This is the United States of America. This is not, you know, the Kolhapur airport. So everyone's in the bathroom and all the little kids, the mother saying, go. And the little child says, I don't have to go. He says, go anyway. I was seeing some of the inner secrets of family life. This one little boy, he was about 6 years old. He says, Mommy, I don't have to use it. I said, do it anyway. He says, no, I don't have to. You do it. I'm ordering you, do it. If you want to or not, do it, because you won't be able to do it later. He was crying. And really, so everyone did it. And then we get on the airplane. And the airplane takes off. The toilet, there's a sign, toilets out of order.
and they locked it so nobody can go in. And there were no lights. And the amazing thing, the air conditioner didn't work either. All those hours. At the beginning, there was lights and there was toilet, but no air conditioner. 5 hours it took them to fix it. And in the end, there was no lights, no toilet, and no air conditioner either. And it was the summer in Florida. That's way down south. Really a hot day. And the plane takes off and everyone is really hot because you can't open windows in the airplane. And everyone's like, And then, you know, some children are crying because they have to go to the toilet. And nobody could even read because it's pretty dark. There was some light from the windows, but it was not so much. It was a miserable flight. It was about 2 hours. And finally, we arrive in Washington, D.C. And I stand up. And everyone in that plane was in so much anxiety. They all missed their connecting flights. They all missed their appointments. They're all business people. And they were all just burning hot. And they all had to go to the bathroom. And they were waiting so many hours. Everyone was frustrated, except one person. I looked back and saw that lady. The whole time on the flight, she had that paper with the Maha Mantra, and she was just, I looked back. Every now and then, actually, I looked back and I saw her, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. And finally, we stood up to leave. Everyone was just chastising the airline hostesses. She said, it's not my fault. And the pilot didn't even come out. He just kind of stayed there with his door locked until everyone left. So I was standing up and I just see her chanting. And she was smiling. She was beaming with smiles. And then she called out to me and said, can you write a blessing and sign your name where this Maha Mantra is? So I did. And she said, thank you. I'm going to keep this forever. As long as I live, I'm going to keep this. And then we're leaving the plane. We have to walk down. And she can't walk much. You know, they have to kind of put her on a... She could walk a little, but then they had her on a wheelchair waiting on the bottom of the plane. And everyone's just rushing, just anxiety, and she's just sitting there in the runway in this wheelchair with the mantra chanting. And she wouldn't leave until I came out. And she was smiling. And everyone in the airplane was looking at her like, what's going on with you? We never saw anybody so miserable than you a few hours ago. And now we've never seen anybody happier than you. People were amazed. And she said, thank you. She said, I have never felt so happy and peaceful and close to God in my entire life. She said, it doesn't matter if I live or die now. I have this mantra and I feel that I'm close to God. And I'm feeling the blessings of God more than I've ever felt. This mantra has transformed my life. And she was crying in joy. She said, thank you, you have saved my life. So I wanted to stay with her. But there was one last flight going to Hartford, Connecticut. and it was supposed to leave in about 10 minutes. And it was in a different terminal. So I started running. And the people of this Washington, D.C. airport, they were very much surprised seeing a Swamiji running. And I ran really fast. I was tired too. And somehow or other, I had to go to another terminal. And I got to the gate, and it was about 10 minutes after the flight was supposed to have left, but there were still some people going in. It was a little late. So I ran up to the desk and I said, "Can I get on this flight?" They said, "Let me see your ticket." I showed the ticket. I said, "Your flight left 5 hours ago." I said, "Well, it's your airline's fault, not mine." I said, "Well, let me see. This flight is full, so you can't come. But you sit down and let us see." So then after everyone boarded, she came out and said, "One person didn't show up, so you can get on." So I got on. But I couldn't call Pyari Mohan to tell him when I'm coming because I was running right after I got off that flight. By the way, the name of the airlines was United Express. But in my mind, I renamed it Disunited Distress. And I got on this flight, and I'm thinking, how am I going to reach him? And then there was a telephone right in front of my seat. And somebody next to me had a credit card. And I said, using their phone, because there was a telephone in front of everyone's seat. I said, "Can I use your credit card for a minute?" He said, "Yes, yes." So I call him and I said, "I'm just coming, I'm just coming." So I arrive and he's there with about 20 devotees waiting for me. And they rush me right to the temple. And it was just in time for the lecture. Exactly the time of the lecture in the evening. So what story do you think I told them? The same story I just told you. It was fresh on my mind. The power of sound. The power of the name of God. How it, right before my eyes, I saw the total transformation of a lady who went from utter suffering and hopelessness to happiness and unlimited hope. After the lecture, somebody asked me, "What was the lady's name?" I said, "Her name was Dorothy." And then one man came up to me and said, "Do you know what Dorothy means?" It's a Latin word. It means one who has received the blessings of God. The power of sound vibration. It can transform darkness to light. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya prayed, Cheto dara paramarjanam bhava maha dabhagni nivapana. That this holy name of Lord Krishna can cleanse the heart and awaken that divine love we're always searching for. And therefore it is the prime benediction for humanity at large. Thank you very much. Is there any questions anyone would like to ask? Would anyone like to ask any question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for your wonderful class. I had a small question.
Thank you for being wonderful.
You mentioned in your class that one who chants the holy name of God in proper direction can achieve liberation. Could you please elaborate what is proper direction?
It was explained that the mantra is none different than God. But unless we receive it from the right source, it does not have the same effect. Yes? That is why initiation is there. When we hear the mantra, or when we hear transcendental knowledge from self-realized souls, from souls who present it as it is, with the proper motivation, then it has its full potency. Otherwise, its potency is adulterated. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained there are three most important religious principles, which are the essence of all religion. To serve great souls, to be compassionate to those who are suffering, and to chant the name of God. It is that service attitude that pleases the Lord. When we have that selfless service attitude, to the degree we have that selfless service attitude, the Lord manifests His full potencies within His holy name. It is said that an elephant can bathe in the river and then comes out of the river and rolls in the dirt. And it's a very, very long process of getting clean. So if we chant the holy name and then engage in unethical, immoral activities, such as illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat-eating, then these activities are like putting dirt on us, on our heart. And then we chant to clean the heart. And then we engage in those activities and we again put dirt on our heart. It's a very, very slow process. But if we live a moral life with good character and chant the holy names, very quickly our heart is purified. And very quickly divine love is awakened. So the direction of proper morality, proper character, humility, tolerance, forgiveness, enthusiasm, patience, self-control, these are qualities that give a person good character. And that service attitude. When we live by these principles, through that direction, then the holy name manifests its full potency to liberate our souls. Does that answer your question? Thank you. So small, you write. Hare Krishna. Sometimes I feel Krishna is too high for me. This is a very important... Sometimes I feel Krishna is too high for me. How can I get over this feeling? Sometimes when I hear about humility, I feel very depressed about being humbled, about being humble, as things have already gone wrong in life and I cannot take it anymore. Please guide. You can follow in the footsteps of Dorothy. When we understand Krishna, it gives us great faith and great hope. Krishna is too high. But ultimately, Krishna is a person. And Krishna, although he is so great, when he sees our sincerity, he reciprocates. It is said that when we take one step toward Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps toward us. That is his kindness. And we see through the various incarnations how the Lord even accepted the most menial positions for his devotee. He became the chariot driver for Arjuna. For Sudama Vipra, Sudama was just a very poor, very, very poor, poverty-stricken man. But Krishna washed his feet and fanned him and fed him and served him. The Lord is very kind. And we find saintly persons, Srila Prabhupada, who is Krishna's devotee, empowered by Krishna. He was cooking for people. He was feeding them with his own hands. He was cleaning for them. He was taking the most humble possible position to help them. That is God's love for us. So yes, that is why we love Krishna. Because he's so high, but he's so kind, so loving, so merciful, so personal. He's willing to come down from the highest platform to come to this earth himself or through his devotees just to lift us up, lift us up, and lift us up. And to be humble is not a depressing thing. To be humble simply means to realize how great is God. And how by the grace of God, I have everything and I could do whatever I can do. Humility simply means to be aware that everything is by God's grace. So why be proud? Without the light of the sun, can we live? Without the air, can we breathe? God has given us our brain to think, our heart to beat. He's given us our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our mouth to eat, our hands to act. God has given us everything, our intelligence, our strength. So why not be grateful? That gratitude is humility, rather than being proud, thinking, I am this. It is by the grace of God I am this. And that brings us joy. And sometimes when life becomes very, very difficult, that's the most opportune time to sincerely turn to the divine. Krishna tells in Gita, there are 4 types of people that approach him. Those who are in distress, those who are in poverty, those who are inquisitive, and those who are seeking the absolute, the truth. But in this world, most people turn to spiritual life because they're in distress. And that distress is actually a gift if we see it properly. It wakes us up that maybe there is something beyond the social fashions that everybody's so enamored by and all the passions to be happy. Maybe there is something happy. If we were satisfied with all the social passions, the best we could do is be superficially, ritualistically religious. But when things start going wrong,
or when we see how potentially things will go wrong, or could go wrong, then we turn to the Lord with sincerity.
And it's not we necessarily want to try to make things go wrong. But whether we try or not, it's going to happen.
Queen Kunti, one of the greatest lady devotees that ever lived, she prayed to Krishna, Vipada Shantu Tashashva Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. My Lord, I suffered so many calamities in my life. And now all the calamities are finished and everything is perfect. But now I'm worried.
When the calamities were there, I turned to you with my heart of hearts. But now that everything's so comfortable, I may forget you. Bring back the calamities, my Lord. Now I'm not asking you to pray like that.
Queen Kunti was very great.
But the calamities are going to come whether you pray or not. It's the nature of this world. When things are going right, thank God. And express your gratitude by using your good fortune in harmony with His will. That's love.
And when calamities inevitably do come, see it as an opportunity to cry out His holy name with great feeling.
Does that answer your question?
Since it's an anonymous question, I don't know if anyone will answer. Sometimes. Everyone begins with sometimes. Just like so many Vedic mantras begin with pranava, om. Chaitanya. Everything begins with sometimes. It's the invocation.
Sometimes, in order to avoid complications in spiritual life, we say no to some opportunities in life. But due to our deep attachments and lack of faith in Krishna, we think that maybe my decision is wrong. So how to understand that our decision is right or wrong? Whether this decision will help me in my Krishna consciousness.
The most important way to determine whether we're right or wrong is our own sincerity. We have to take inventory of our own motivations and really honestly think and ask the question, what will please Krishna? What will please God? And if we're really sincere, then the answer will come.
And also there are many people who are more experienced and more realized than us. And we can inquire from them and get nice direction as well. Arjuna was in the same predicament. Yes? In the first chapter of Gita, he was debating whether he should fight or not. Arjuna was thinking, sometimes life is just so bad. I'm on this battlefield between two armies and I love people on both sides. I can't fight. I won't fight. I refuse to fight. And he presented so many arguments why I will not fight Krishna. Krishna was silent. But then when he thought about the whole picture, he became very bewildered. He could not make a decision.
And his bow, Gandiva, fell from his hands, and he was white, pale. He was crying tears. His limbs were trembling. He was really in distress due to indecision. Then he turned to Krishna. Karpanya doso pahatasva bhava prichchamitvam dharma samudacaya. I am confused. I don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Please instruct me. And then Krishna began Bhagavad Gita. So it is the nature of life. We will all be put in situations like this. But if we inquire from Krishna, or from the spiritual master, or the senior Vaishnavas, advanced devotees, they can give us good guidance. But often their guidance is not that you should do this. Sometimes they may say, this is the best thing for you to do. But oftentimes what they will do is they will help you to make the right decision by guiding you. Because actually, spiritual maturity comes when we can make the right decisions ourselves. And the Guru and the senior Vaishnavas are there to help us to learn how to make the right decisions. So let us be humble and understand it's very difficult, and inquire from people we trust. Does that answer your question? I thought you were all very shy. So many questions. I'm going to look for one that says sometimes. If we think in the right direction, why some difficulties come? If you're in the ocean, even if you swim correctly, do you still get wet? How many of you know swimming? Please raise your hand if you know swimming. How many don't know swimming? Okay. Well, if you're in the middle of water, the right direction is to swim, yes? But even if you're swimming, do you get wet? Because you're in water. So the nature of this world is there will be difficulties. No matter what, right or wrong, what we do, there'll be difficulties. If we're going in the wrong direction, the difficulties will be perpetuated, complicated, and worsened for the future. If we're going in the right direction, by passing through those difficulties, we are liberated. The wrong direction, by passing through those difficulties, we are put into further bondage. How does sound become a cause of material entanglement? Just turn on your radio. Or turn on your television. Or go to the restaurant and hear what people are talking about.
When people are gossiping, it fills our mind with that vibration and it entangles us. Once people are thinking of material subject matters, through that association, we become it awakens our propensity for material subject matters. Yes? Just look at when I say turn on your radio or look at the hoardings on the streets of Bombay, I really don't want you to do that. But if you do, what happens? Yes, these hoardings have lusty men and lusty women embracing. And what happens to somebody when they see that? The vibration within the mind responds to seeing that, and it awakens our propensity for those things. Yes? If you're with people who are talking about the glories of smoking cigarettes, then it awakens you in the inclination. It must be good. They're talking all about it. It sounds so nice. And then we become bound, entangled. You see, time is so precious. And as we're listening, hearing, mundane or material sound vibrations, glorifying things that cause bondage, it's filling our head with those impressions. But if we're talking about Krishna and thinking about Krishna and seeing Krishna and chanting the holy names of Krishna, we're filling our minds with those vibrations. How can one increase one's faith in the holy name and the whole process of bhakti yoga? The best way is to associate with people who have that faith and to perform those activities and cultivate those thoughts that increase our faith, and to avoid those vibrations that distract our mind from our goal. Now, when we're living in society, there are so many distractions. But those distractions can actually help us if we're spiritually strong. When you resist a distraction, you become stronger spiritually. When you give in, you become weaker. So Bombay is a wonderful place to become strong. But that means if we have nice association and in the free time where we have a choice of what to do, if we cultivate spiritual strength, then that will empower us when we go out into the world to keep our mind fixed on what is virtuous, what is truth, and what will help me to awaken love of God. And every test we pass, we're being filled with grace and we're becoming strong. So tests are good. How many of you enjoy your exams in school? Please raise your hand. How many do not necessarily enjoy your exams in school? But how many of you who don't enjoy it still take your exams in school? Those exams are necessary. Because when you know the exams are coming, you have to prepare yourself. So in this world, you know the exams are coming every day. And knowing that actually helps us
to take more seriously preparing ourselves through our spiritual practices, through our association, and through our goodness by accessing God's grace. Should I continue?
No.
Who's going to lead the kirtan today? Rup Mantri. That will be the best part of the program. She is an angel. I always want... I like to chant... But I cannot read this. I'm sorry. I come to Bhagavatam class for every Saturday and Sunday. I like to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, but I really cannot remember what I have heard. Even in my studies, I am a last-year student, but I don't remember what I read. Thank you for your honest revelation. Is this a question? If we're since, as far as your studies, that's another subject. But as far as Srimad Bhagavatam, just by your being attentive in class, your heart is being purified and you are enriching your spiritual life. But to help you remember, you may want to take notes. Yes? In your studies, you take notes. And those nice notes help you remember. So similarly, if we cannot hear the Srimad, if we cannot remember what we hear in class, we can take notes and go over those notes to remember. But just by taking your time to come to the class when you could be doing so many other things is purifying your heart, even if you don't remember all the details. And that is a wonderful benediction. And as far as your studies, just try your best. And Krishna will be pleased. Thank you for the nectarine class. Thank you for your kind words. My question is, what happens to those who chant without understanding the holy name? That it's the holy name that they are chanting. The holy name is like fire. If a little baby who doesn't know anything about fire touches fire, what happens? And if the chief fire marshal of Mumbai, touches fire, what happens? Same thing. They both get burnt because fire burns. So even if a person doesn't know anything about the holy name, if they hear the holy name or if they chant the holy name, there will be a powerful spiritual effect. Srila Prabhupada, our Gurudev, tells a story about his Gurudev who was giving some lectures in a particular place, and two newspapers wrote articles. One was praising the devotees and the other was seriously criticizing the devotees. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur read both articles and he said, "This one is much better." And it was the one that was criticizing the devotees. So the devotees asked, How is this better? He said, because the first one's praising, but it never says the, it only says the name Krishna once. But this one that's criticizing has the name of Krishna so many times. So whoever reads it is going to keep hearing the name of Krishna. And every time they hear the name Krishna, because when you read, reading is sound vibration. It's the written word. Yes? You read it, but then in your mind, it's a sound. They're hearing Krishna's name so many times, how much they will be connected and purified. But as we make some spiritual progress, then at that point, our attitude, our character, our sincerity, Krishna reciprocates with that. So the holy name is always pure. But yes, our attitude accesses the grace of the holy name, very much so. There is power in silence. They say silence speaks volume. Please explain the potent power of silence. Very, very nice question. How would you like if I answered your question by being silent? Would you be satisfied? The answer is, because we may be silent with our mouth, but what's happening in our mind? It's not very silent. Yes? Sit in silent meditation, and what happens in your mind? So many voices, so many things. Real silence is when the mind is quiet. Now, scriptures describe it in different ways. One is material silence. When we're chanting God's name, when we're speaking about God, when we're speaking for the benefit of others, that is also silence. Because we're not speaking things that bind us to material existence. We're not gossiping. We're not fault-finding. We're not talking just about political matters. Silence means no material vibration. Spiritual vibrations is material silence. Now sometimes, and this is an example, if a small child is in school and they just keep talking and they keep screaming and they keep yelling and they keep disrupting the class, what does the teacher do? Says, sit in the corner and don't say anything and don't do anything. I know, because that happened to me once. I was very shy. I hardly talked. But one class, the teacher was a real joking person, so I was talking, yeah, get in the corner, don't say anything. So that's better. Is it better to be silent in the corner of the room than to be disrupting the whole class? Yes? But is that the perfection? To remain in the corner of the room silent? The perfection is to participate in the class in a constructive way. It's better to do nothing than be destructive. But better than doing nothing is to be constructive. Another example is, if you're really sick, you're told to fast. Don't eat anything. It's better to fast than to make yourself sicker. But when you're healthy, the best thing is to eat healthily. So similarly, the scriptures talk about silence, not to speak things that
agitate our minds and agitate other people's minds. But the perfection of silence is to be absorbed in the remembrance of God. And the easiest, most powerful way of being absorbed in the remembrance of God, which creates complete material silence, is to chant His holy name. What is Krishna and how can I feel Him? Krishna is the all-attractive object of your soul's love. Every living being is seeking pleasure. The essence of pleasure is the pleasure of love. We need it. Without loving someone and being loved by someone, life is very empty and superficial. The origin of that love is the soul's love for God and God's love for the soul. We are attracted to someone who is beautiful, someone who is powerful, someone who is learned, someone who is famous, someone who is renounced, someone who has wealth. These are opulences that attract our heart. The name Krishna means He possesses all opulences in full. He's the source of all beauty, all strength, all knowledge, all wealth, all fame, all renunciation. And Krishna, His love for the soul is unlimited and unconditional. This is Krishna. He's our eternal Father, our eternal Mother, our eternal Friend, our eternal Lover. And we could feel Him through the path of bhakti. Bhakti is the process God has given us in which we could feel Him 24 hours a day. Krishna's within our hearts. Krishna's within the heart of every living being. Krishna's in and between every atom through His various energies. But ultimately, the source of everything is that divine person, that all-powerful, all-loving, all-attractive person who we are eternally longing to be reunited with. Bhakti yoga means to be reunited with our source, with God, through acts of devotion, by remembering Him, by hearing about Him, by chanting His names and His glories, by praying to Him, by worshipping the deity, by rendering service to Him, to His devotees, to all living beings. These are ways by which we could always feel the presence of God. In the story you mentioned about Lady, how she was miserable, seeing everything negative and became happy and taking shelter of God's name. My question is, when pressing, is that the word? When pressing situations around us, you are too often, how to take shelter of the Lord's name and become peaceful and happy? Just like a little child wants to walk, first the child has to learn to crawl. Do you remember when you had to learn to crawl? It's very difficult. You're just laying there.
And then you just start crawling. And then you see everyone around you walking. And you want to be like them. And you try to walk. And your father or your mother holding their finger, and then you fall down. And every time you try to walk, you keep falling down. But through the process of practice, you gradually develop the strength and the wisdom to walk. And now, how many of you think about walking when you're walking? It's just absolutely natural. But to come to that natural, spontaneous state of walking, it actually took a lot of failed attempts. But you didn't give up. So similarly, we chant the holy names, we try to live a spiritual devotional life, and it may be difficult at times, but if we just keep trying sincerely and try to associate with people and read books that give us strength, that give us wisdom, then gradually we develop wisdom and realization. And then spiritual life is just like walking. It becomes natural to us. The reason a child is able to learn to walk is because the ability is inherent within her. Yes? If the ability was not inherent within a child to walk, it would never be able to learn walking. But through practice, we develop our inherent abilities. And that is the way spiritual life is too. To be calm, peaceful, and happy, and to take shelter of the holy name is actually inherent within us all. But it takes practice. And along with Rupa Goswami said, two qualities are very important. Perseverance and patience. We must be enthused to persevere, but at the same time, it may take some time. We must persevere with patience. Should we end now? Yes, we will end now. I thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for a wonderful class, Maharaj. We would like to welcome our esteemed guest, Dr. Shubhangi Parker. Hare Krishna. She is a professor and head of Department of Psychiatry in State GS Medical and KIM Hospital. She is also the president of All India Association of Psychiatry. Let us all invite her in our traditional way by